You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Ready for the Word?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Turn with me to the book of Ephesians, first chapter. Last week we taught on three steps to answered prayer. Anybody remember that?
Yeah.
And just talked very simply that these, and there may be more steps you could throw in there, but if you want three simple steps to answered prayer, if you want answers to your prayer, then we talked about how you need to find it in the Word. You need to find out first, what is it that you're praying for? Is it the will of God? Do you have a right to ask God for that? Does God say did he do that? Did he promise that? So, number one was finding the Word. Number two was pray in the name of Jesus. John the 14th chapter, 15th and 16th chapter tells us, Jesus speaking, that whatever we ask in His name, He would do it. So that gives us our authority, our right to approach God. We have a promise. We have something He said He willed, His will, His Word. We have authority in the name. And then, of course, the third step would be we need to ask in faith. Because whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe you receive them and you shall have them, is what Jesus said. Mark 11:24. So we talked about that in three steps to answer prayer. Real simple, real basic, not complicated, right out of the Scripture. In fact, if you weren't here and didn't get that teaching, you can purchase that CD back at the back. That was last week. But I'm starting a series on prayer. We're going to talk about prayer, some prayers in the Bible, types of prayers, and so on and so forth, what the Bible says about prayer. Prayer is real simple. It's just communication with God. It's talking with God. There's all kinds of prayers that you can pray. There's prayers of consecration when you dedicate yourself to God. You come to Him and you give your life to Him and you give your day to Him. And, there's prayers of worship where you worship Him. There's prayers of petition where you're asking for something for you, for yourself. There's intercessory prayers where you're praying for others, interceding for others. So there's different kinds of prayers and different rules that apply to different kinds of prayers. Tonight, I just want to talk to you about Ephesians 1, the prayer out of Ephesians 1. This is a prayer that was prayed by Paul for the church at Ephesus. In context, this is be something to pray for churches. That would be a good way to say it. But now there's no doubt that when you look through the list of things that Paul prayed about, there are things that we can all use. I like to use this prayer and make it personal, along with praying it for the church and praying it for others. I take the points and the steps that Paul's making here, and I'll take them and make it personal. I think you ought to do that. You ought to take the Word and put yourself in there. When David said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." I mean, he was making it personal. He didn't say the Lord is a shepherd. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd."
Yeah.
What does that mean? I shall not want. That's what that means. I shall not lack. See, it means something when you make the Scripture personal. Mm-hmm. And so you ought to make that statement of fact, "The Lord is my shepherd," and then make a statement of faith on the basis of that fact. I shall not want. That's what I'm going to say. That's what I'm believing. Why? Because the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. So take scriptures like this and fill in the blanks. Put your name in there. Make it personal. But here he is. He's praying for the church at Ephesus. And it's interesting the way he starts out here. Just track with me. We're going to take it verse by verse and let it come alive. Amen? Are you ready?
Yes.
Ephesians 1, verse 15. "Therefore, also after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints." That's interesting. I don't have time, but it'd be good for you to just read up to this point. He talks about how they accepted the Lord, how they were had an inheritance with the saints in light, received the Spirit, the guarantee, the earnest down payment of their salvation, how they trusted God and how they were part of this great family. And he says, therefore, in light of all that, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. This is fascinating to me. It always has caught my attention because I think we think of praying for others because of needs they have, maybe a crisis or a tragedy took place. Prayer request cards generally are that way. And that's right. We should pray for people who have a need, an obvious need, people who are in a crisis or have a tragedy. But it's interesting that Paul says, "When I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and your love for all the saints." Now see, this is not the normal way we pray for people, or the normal way we put people on our list. Should be, but it's not. I mean, generally it's hey, we'll get a phone call. We need to pray for somebody. Something happened. Got a bad report, or there's a need, and, And those are all right. We justly, rightly, we should do that. But I think we neglect sometimes people that are doing well, people that are doing great, churches that are growing, pastors that are on top of it, and friends and neighbors that have no needs. See, and there's the problem. We get the idea that because things are going good, we don't have needs. We always have need of prayer. In fact, I think sometimes when churches are doing great, they probably need more prayer. Because now the devil's going to go after that church because they are a threat. When you're doing good, you don't need to stop praying. You probably need to start praying more. When people and friends and maybe people you support and so on and so forth are doing great, and I mean they're just going full guns. I mean they're just awesome, you know, taking people for the kingdom, nations for the kingdom, you know, by force and doing good. Well, you ought to be on your knees lifting that ministry up when you hear of how good they're doing. And when you hear of their faith and you hear of their love for the saints. Because there's never really a time we don't need prayer. And there's never really a time that others don't need prayer. And so we should always keep in mind those, not just those obvious needs, but we should keep in mind our brothers and sisters and churches. You know, I always pray for churches in our town, whether they're doing good or bad. I always pray. If they're doing good, I pray to do better, you know. And so he's praying this. He said, but when I heard how good you're doing, basically, when I heard of your faith and I heard of your love for the saints, hey, this church is doing good. Obviously, their faith has been spread around. Paul had heard about it. Their love for the saints had been spread around. He heard about that. So this wasn't a crisis church, that a tragic, you know, one tragic crisis after another that he was having to lift them up. So what do you pray for somebody like that? Well, let's go on. Let's read on. 16th verse, when I heard all this, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. That's a good way to start. Start thanking God for people that are serving God and doing good and loving the saints and got their faith up. Start thanking God for churches that are exploding and growing and reaching out and meeting needs, and start thanking Him, God, for them, and then start praying for them this way, 17th verse, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Hallelujah, somebody.
Hallelujah.
I'm telling you, we can always use more revelation. We can always use the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. And I think that's significant too, because this is not a man thing. This is not a, you know, we're just real smart and we're making this happen. No. You know, and if we're smart enough, we can figure it out. No, thank God, that's not the way it is. And since it's not that way, every one of us is a candidate to be used by God. If it were just up to smart people, then just smart people would be making this thing happen. But that's just not the way you see it happening. That's not the way Jesus gathered people around Him. I mean, you look at the group of people gathered around Him. There were fishermen. Peter, James, and John took the world by storm. These were not highly educated people. In fact, that was the comment made about them in Acts the 4th chapter when they perceived the Pharisees and the Sadducees after they, you know, interrogated them for healing a lame man. Wow. They perceived they were ignorant, unlearned men. But it did say this. It says, and they perceived they'd been with Jesus.
Yeah.
That makes all the difference, amen? I mean, when you look at Jesus picking up these harlots and, hello, tax collectors of that day, that's just about as low as you can get, tax collector. Everybody hates tax collectors. You know, Matthew was a publican or tax collector. And then there's Peter, James, John, these guys. I mean, these were not the guys most likely to succeed. So what was the secret of their power? Obviously, the secret of their power was God.
That's right.
And revelation. Remember when Jesus asked Peter, says, whom do men say that I am? And he says, well, some say you're John the Baptist. Yes, that's reincarnation or whatever. I don't know what that would be, reincarnation, because he's alive at the same time. Some say you're Jeremiah the prophet. And then Jesus said, who do you say that I am? He says, you're the Son of the living God. You're the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Amen.
And Jesus said, blessed are you, for flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. Wow. So if there's anything, and then he goes on and says, and upon this rock I'll build my church.
Yeah.
Upon what rock? Now, well, the Catholic Church say it'd be Peter, but really in context, the rock is revelation knowledge. The rock of revelation knowledge, confessing Our confession of faith based on what God reveals to us, not what we feel or what we've heard or what's been revealed to us by man. The church has always been and always will be built on revelation knowledge. And our confession of who Jesus is according to what the Spirit reveals to us. And so what Paul's praying here for this church is that they would have a spirit of revelation, wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Because if we ever stop that, if we stop yielding to the Spirit, if we stop listening to God, listening to the Spirit, and letting Him have the final word on the matter, and not our logic and our philosophy and our thinking, and not our figuring it out, but what the Spirit says over and over and over and over and over. Well, if there's anything we need a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. That's significant. I can get knowledge. You can take in knowledge. We can read. We can study. We can memorize verses. But wisdom and revelation comes from God. Comes from the Spirit. Are you with me? So he didn't say, notice he didn't say, I pray that you have knowledge. No, you go get knowledge. You study to show yourself proven to God. You get in the Word. That's your responsibility. God's not going to just throw that at you and give you that out of heaven. But if you will get the knowledge, then we'll pray and we'll yield to the Spirit. He'll give us the revelation of the knowledge. And I'm praying that God will grant you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. So I'm responsible for reading and studying and getting the knowledge, but I have to pray to get the revelation. Go to church, get in church, get under the presence of the Spirit. You know, pray when I'm reading. Don't just read, pray. I think it's also significant that he didn't say, for this cause I teach. Some things you can teach into people, but some things you have to pray into them. Revelation comes through believing God, trusting God, yielding to God, praying. Revelation is not something you can teach into people. I can teach revelation in the sense of what God's revealed to me, but it takes the Spirit to reveal it to you. It takes me praying for you, praying for the messages I preach, praying that it will come alive, praying that you get it. Some things I can teach into you, some things I have to pray into you, but I can't. Paul didn't say, for this cause I teach. He said, this cause I pray. He said, you can never separate prayer from the power of God. You can never separate prayer from real success and real revelation. Because it's what goes on behind the scenes. It's what goes on really before the service, as it were. It was what goes on in your personal private life that determines what you're going to get a hold of when you get in the Word. And Paul sees that. Oh, they're looking good, heard good things about them. They're saying the right things. They're loving the saints and so on. I pray. When I heard this, I pray that God would grant to them the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. That the knowledge that they have, that God will give them revelation of it. I never get to the point to where I know everything. I am amazed year by year by year how Scripture comes alive to me. As much as I've read, as much as I teach, and I love to teach. I'm a teacher. You know, that's my gift. It's my calling, a pastor and a teacher. And I'd rather teach and eat. I mean, I just, you know, I love sharing the Word and digging in the Word. I mean, if you hang around me, you're going to hear me talking about the Word, talking about Scripture during the day, at night, whatever. We're going to get around to it. That's just what it boils down to. I mean, Amanda and I talk about it, and Chris in the office, and Brent and I sitting, we'll lay in bed talking the Word and sharing Scriptures. We, you know, constantly. We're always doing that. I love the Word. I love it. And I'm always, it just amazes me, day by day, year by year, how much more there's in here that I didn't know. And it was there all the time. Why is that? Revelation. You got to keep seeking God. You got to keep praying because there's so much more in here than you don't know it all. You think you do, but you don't know it all. I don't know it all. Are you with me? Now, you know, God's not going to change what you know for a fact. That's true. He's going to build on that. Yeah. We're not going to come up with a brand new revelation. I don't mean that, but I mean we're going to get a fuller revelation of what we know, a more mature revelation of what we know. That's real growth. Real growth doesn't throw away everything that's good. It adds to what you have. That a tree grows by adding to. So those truths that got us where we are today, we don't throw them away. We mature in those truths. We get more revelation in those truths. We understand more about confession. We understand more about trust and faith. And we understand more about prayer. Are you with me? Moving of the Spirit. these kinds of things. So he's praying this. Woo, hallelujah. He's praying that God, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, would give you the spirit of wisdom, revelation, the knowledge of Him. That the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened. Well, that's a good one. You know, you can see with physical eyes, but sometimes we have our spiritual eyes shut tight. You know, we're looking right at it, we're not getting it. And it takes the Spirit to open up our understanding. That's what happens when you're reading along in the Bible or you're in church and all of a sudden you go, whoa, I see that. Or, you know, you'll say things like this, man, I never heard that in my life. That is odd. I've never heard it in my life. And you probably have heard it lots of times, but you got it that time. Because you got the revelation of it, see? All of a sudden the eyes of your understanding were opened at that point. And he's not talking, I think it's interesting that really specifically here this word understand, he's not talking about your spirit per se, I think he's talking about your mind. Your spirit where it starts, but it's got to end up in your mind. If it never hits your mind, you hadn't got it yet. It doesn't start there, it starts in your spirit. But if it doesn't hit your mind, you still don't have it. When you get a revelation, you get it in your head. Now, I know you can take that and go the wrong way with it. Don't twist what I'm saying. This is not mental revelation or mind over matter. But when you get the revelation, it does permeate your understanding. Yeah. At that point, you see it. You go, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's right.
It gets up in your head.
And
all, it hadn't been up there before. It hadn't quite got there. Those eyes had been shut, the eyes of your understanding. It's more than just your spirit. It's the union of that spirit and your mind. It's when they two get in agreement. And all of a sudden now, hey, what's been down rolling around in your spirit has now exploded up into your head. And you go, whoa, I got that.
Yeah, I mean, that's good. That's good.
Isn't that right? The eyes of your understanding now are enlightened. All of a sudden the light shines on your understanding. And you get it. One good way to explain it is when you go tell someone else what you just got and they go looking at you, huh? And you're telling me in English what you just understood, but they don't get it. You ever done that? You ever done that? I mean, you're all excited and you're sharing this thing and they're going, okay. Well, what's the big deal? Doesn't everybody know that? You know? No, they don't know it either. Because if they knew it, they'd be jumping just like you're jumping. Hello. How do you get to that point? You've got to pray to get to that point. You've got to have the Spirit reveal things to you. See, the Bible is a revelation. Revelation is revealed. For something to be revealed, there must be a revealer. The Holy Spirit is that revealer. He is the one who reveals truth. That's what Paul understood. He knew that. That's why he was praying for this church, that they'd have that spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Wisdom, revelation, and insight into the knowledge that they had already heard, already accepted, believed in, trusted in, that were starting to share one another through loving one another. He prayed that the Spirit of God, the Spirit of wisdom and revelation would give them insight into this knowledge. Man, we need that. That's what makes it come alive. That's what makes it more than just a sermon. That's what makes it more than just a good word. It makes it alive, living, quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. The anointing on the word, the revelation on the word, makes all the difference in the world. All the difference in the world. In fact, when you think about the need for the Spirit to reveal, I mean, that's real plain. 1 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter, 9th verse, it says, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love Him." 10th verse says, "But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit." That's what Paul's praying here, see, is that by the Spirit he would reveal the things that God has given to us. Because a lot of times we're reading along in the Word and we've got the Word and we know what the Scripture says, but you know, we don't really have a revelation of God having given that to us. We read along there, God is healed and God heals and God healed this person and that person and says lay hands on sick and shall recover. But you need a revelation of the fact that God has given that to you.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
Isn't that right? I mean, you read along, you hear those messages and those sermons, maybe some testimonies, but you need a revelation that's been given to you. I have not seen, ear have not heard, neither entered in the heart of man. You can hear it, you know. You can look on it, but until the Spirit reveals it, till you get that revelation, you won't realize that it's been given to you. But God revealed them to us. That's what it says, that 10th verse. But God has revealed them unto us. Them what? Them things. Them things. Right? 1 Corinthians 2:9. I have not seen, ear have not heard, neither have entered in the heart of man, the things that God has given to those that love Him. But God has revealed them things, to us. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man except or but by the Spirit of God. Get it? Without the Spirit, you cannot know the things of God. You can memorize them, you can talk about them, but you can't really know them. You can't. And see, that's what Paul's praying. He's praying that they would know the knowledge of God, that they would get the Spirit of wisdom revelation in the knowledge of God.
Yeah.
Isn't that right? That they had the knowledge, now he want to make sure they get it. Really know it, really understand it, really, you know what to do with it. Because that's what wisdom is, really. It's knowing what to do with information. Information, well, you know, knowledge is taking in information. It's the accumulation of information. Wisdom is the application of it. You can have a lot of knowledge and not know what to do with it.
Yeah.
Listen, believe me, I've had a lot of manuals I could read, and I still didn't get it. Didn't know what to do with it. But now I get a revelation of it, all of a sudden I know what to do with it. Well, I can got all these verses and I know what you're saying and I hear that and everything, but what do I do with this? Well, the Spirit gives us this wisdom, this revelation of what to do with it. That's what wisdom is, the ability to use knowledge. What to do with it. And so that's what he's saying over there in 1 Corinthians 2 chapter 9, 10th, 11th verse. You know, 10th verse, God revealed unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? You know, Tommy's sitting over. I don't know what's going over in Tommy's head, but Tommy, his spirit knows what's going on inside his head. What man knows the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? I don't know what you're thinking. You don't know everything I'm thinking. You can hear what I'm saying. But it's the spirit of man in man that knows what man, the things of a man. Ulterior motives, agenda, goals, dreams, what's going on inside there. Nobody knows that. You know it, but everybody else doesn't know that. Isn't that right? So it says, what man knows the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him, even so the things of God knows no man, except or but by the Spirit of God. Now I could sit down with Tommy, and Tommy could begin to talk to me, and I could begin to find out what's going on inside of Tommy. What his goals, dreams are, what he's thinking right now, and so on and so forth. He could share that with me. His spirit could, because his spirit knows the things that are in him. But now I'm going to sit down with God's spirit to find out the things of God.
Right, right.
And if I don't pray and I don't yield to him and I don't listen to him, I'm not going to know the things of God, because I only know the things of God by the Spirit of God.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah.
You know what that next verse says? It says, now we have received, not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So why do we have the Spirit? Well, obviously, you could say, well, speak in tongues. Well, no, I mean, I understand when I'm baptized in the Holy Ghost, I speak with other tongues. That's what they did in Acts 2 and Acts 10 and Acts 19, and I understand that. But the main function of the Spirit is not tongues. That's not the main function of the Spirit. The main function of the Spirit is that I might know the things of God. That's the main function, is that I might have revelation. I mean, thank God for the noise. Thank God for the whistle on the train. But the main function of the engine of the train is to move it down the tracks. Hello. You understand, in great respect for tongues, baptism in the Holy Ghost, and operating tongues constantly, and I am baptized with the Holy Spirit. But I know the function, the main function of the Spirit, according to Scripture, is that I might know. He is the Spirit of truth. He will teach me all things, is what Jesus said. And it says here that we have received the Spirit of God in 1 Corinthians 2 chapter, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Paul's just playing on that and just taking that truth and praying that for the Ephesians, that God would grant them a spirit of wisdom, revelation, and knowledge of Him. Because that's where revelation comes from. Woo-hoo.
Amen.
From the Spirit. See? Wow. That's good stuff. So he says this. Let's go on here. He's still in this prayer in Ephesians. So I didn't want you to turn over there because I know if we turned over to 1 Corinthians 2nd chapter, I'd spend all day there. And I just about did anyway, but that's okay. That the eyes of our understanding, 18th verse, be enlightened, that we might know what is the hope. The eyes of our understanding be enlightened, that we might know. Because if you don't have your understanding enlightened, you won't know. If you don't get enlightenment, if you don't get revelation, if the Spirit doesn't move here, then you're not going to really know. Well, you can quote the verse, but just you're not going to know it. You're not going to get it without that Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. And then He'll reveal to you, this is interesting, eyes be enlightened that you may know what is the hope of His calling. Hallelujah, somebody, there is hope in this calling. I mean, we can go through it, we can read it, but there's no hope if you don't get the revelation of what's going on here. If you get the revelation of this calling, there's hope in this calling. And He's praying that you, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you might know what is the hope of this calling. It takes a revelation to get hope out of the Word. Are you listening to me? I mean, you can read the Word, but without a revelation, there's no hope in it. You can tell somebody, well, we'll pray right now. The Bible says, lay hands on the sick, may we recover. Right there in the Bible says it right there. Lay hands on the sick, may shall recover. Mark 16th chapter, 17, 18th verse. It says right there in James, the 5th chapter. It says right there in the 16th verse, confess your faults one to another and pray ye one for another, you may be healed. Whew, hallelujah, somebody. You can get them to read it. It's right there in the Word. But I'm going to tell you what, without a revelation, there's no hope in that. You were called by God to make it. You were called by God to go over. You were called by God to overcome the devil. You were born of God, and so you overcome the world, because whatsoever is born of God overcome the world. You can show somebody in the script. You can show yourself. You can read it yourself. But it takes a revelation to get the hope of this thing. And I think that's what happens a lot of times is we know the Scripture. We can quote that Scripture, and we have had the hope before. But we've kind of, you know, it's kind of, we've dimmed our eyes of our understanding down a little bit. We need to open up the eyes of our understanding. We need to pray. Oh, we know all those verses. We know all those Scriptures. But see, we need to pray. We need to pray. We need to pray. See, you back up on your prayer, you're going to lose some power here.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
You'll lose some power. You'll lose revelation. And when you lose revelation, you lose hope. That's what Paul's... is. Y'all catching this? Okay. So he's praying... Of course, God grant them spirit of wisdom, revelation, the knowledge of Him. The eyes are understanding to be enlightened, that have insight. So he's praying for, here's what he's doing. He's praying for wisdom, revelation, and insight into God's knowledge, God's Word, into your calling, the hope of His calling on our lives. What are the riches of the glory of His inheritance? We have an inheritance, but see, but if you don't have a revelation, you won't understand the riches of that inheritance. Oh, I got an inheritance. I know one day I'm going to heaven. One day we're going in the great by and by. You know, it's going to be better one day. Well, now the Bible says, where is this inheritance? It's in the saints. I thought I was one of those. Aren't you one of those? Aren't we that? So this inheritance is already in us. And we have the idea that to get an inheritance, we have to die. I think you got that backwards. You would get an inheritance when somebody else dies.
Right. Amen. That's good.
Well, when I die and get to heaven, I'm going to get my inheritance. No, no. You get your inheritance when Jesus died. Jesus has already died. Good news is He rose again. Even better news is He's your lawyer. Your advocate sitting at the right hand of God making good His death. I mean, how can you beat that? I mean, you go to the reading of the will, and the lawyer is the one that died and left the will, and he rose again to make sure everybody understood what it was about. That's really that's the case. Jesus actually is the lawyer representing us and interpreting the will that He wrote, the inheritance that He gave us when He died. So we're not waiting to get our inheritance. Boy, I can't wait to die and get my inheritance. No, somebody else died and left you an inheritance.
That's right.
And the inheritance is in the saints. And you know what? That's a revelation.
Yeah.
a lot of the church doesn't have. Because without the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him, without the eyes of their understanding being enlightened, they don't understand how much hope is in this calling. They don't understand the riches that's in this inheritance, and they don't realize that it's in us, the saints. Oh, hallelujah, somebody. See, there are great riches in this inheritance that we need to get a revelation of. Paul's praying they get a revelation of the great riches that are in this inheritance, that is in the saints right now. Hey, he didn't stop there. He goes on. It gets better.
Yeah.
Is this powerful?
Yes, sir.
I mean, see, you need to chew on things. You got to stop and take it word by word. Think about what he's saying. It's all tied into wisdom, revelation, and insight into the things that he begins to pray. These are things you ought to pray for yourself. God, let me get wisdom, revelation, and insight into this knowledge that I have of your word and into this calling that you have for me and into this inheritance, the riches of this inheritance that you've given me. That's in these. This riches I already have. Woo! And, 19th verse, what is the exceeding greatness of his power? Now, that's something we need a revelation of. That's something the church at Ephesus needed. That's something the International Outreach Church needs. That's something every church needs. That's something every individual needs. I need a revelation. I'm pretty well versed on how much power the government has. I'm pretty well versed on what the doctor might say. I'm pretty well versed on, you know, the rumors of the day. But am I well versed on God's power? Do I really have a revelation of how powerful God is? What is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe? To us who believe. I think many people think of God in terms of, you know, he's just powerful, he's just awesome, he's got power, and he does, he has power, and he is awesome, there's no question about that. But they kind of think of it in terms of that's all for himself, that he's just hoarding all that up. That all of God's power is just to stroke his ego or just to exalt himself or just to flaunt or whatever the case may be. But the Bible says that Paul's praying that we get wisdom, revelation, insight into the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe. His power is to us. It's for us. I mean, what good is it that I even mentioned earlier when we talk about healing. You know, God's not just healthy and God's not just a healer. He said, I am the Lord that heals you. God's not just well provided for. God is not just a provider. The Lord is my provider. My shepherd. See, if you never understand that all that God is for you. I mean, that's why he's done this for us, okay? Jesus died for you. He didn't die for himself. He didn't pay the price for his sin. He paid the price for your sin. He didn't take stripes on his body that he might be healed. He took stripes on his body that you might be healed. Are you with me? So in the same breath, if you're going to say God is a healer, if you're going to get it in context, you need to get this revelation that he heals you, that he's your healer, that he's your savior, he's your peace giver, he's your forgiver, he's your life giver. We need a revelation of the exceeding greatness of his power to us word. Whoa, excuse me. I knocked it out here. Good. Wow. Man, that's power, isn't it? Yeah. To us word who believe. I like that because, you know, God's power is really not to everybody. He didn't say exceeding greatness of his power to everybody. But exceeding greatness of his power to us word who believe. So my believing, I need a revelation of this. We all need a revelation of this. The church at Ephesus need a revelation of this. That as I believe, then God's power is released toward me. Wow. There's hope in this calling. There's riches in this inheritance. This inheritance is in the saints, and this power that God has, this exceeding great power, is to me. It's I don't know. I'm getting more out of this than y'all are. This is an awesome prayer. Why would you not want to pray this prayer, you know, for yourself and for others?
Amen.
For the church. You need to pray this when you're doing good. Because where we miss it, and the reason we don't get our prayers answered in many cases, is because we don't have a revelation of that power being to us. We don't connect. We don't make it personal. We think He's going to pass us by. He has some other, you know, it's for somebody else, not for me. Isn't that right? And we read the Scripture and the promises, but we don't have hope. We don't really have, it doesn't really spark. It doesn't jump at us because we don't have a revelation. There's no hope in this calling. And we read about all the things that we supposedly inherited one day when we get to heaven, but we don't really understand the riches of this inheritance. We need a revelation of that. I tell you, to get you healed. Amen? It'll get your prayers answered. And the reason we're not as effective as we should be, the reason we don't have as much power as we should have, is because we need a revelation. We need wisdom, revelation, and insight into these things. We quote the Scriptures, we study them, we're doing that, that's good, but we need to pray for revelation. God, make this, get this burning in me, make this come alive to me. Father, I yield to You the Spirit to teach and guide and lead me now. Reveal to me these things, the Spirit that You've given me, that I might know the things that You've freely given to me. In fact, you know, that I was quoting over there in 1 Corinthians 2nd chapter, starting at 9th verse. A lot of times when you share this with people, you can share a promise with someone, especially someone who does not know the Lord, and they will actually laugh and think you have lost your mind, you're off your rocker. Because they have no revelation. And it is completely foolish. That's what the 14th verse of that 1 Corinthians 2nd chapter says. It says, the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned or understood. Man, what a revelation there. That these things are not understood with just your head, they're understood with your spirit. You've got to get a spiritual revelation, and then it explodes in your head. That's good news. I'm going to tell you, that is great news. See, I don't have to be a rocket scientist to get this. What I have to do is believe, trust God, and pray. And every single one of us can believe, trust God, and pray. Every one of us. No matter who we are, what our academic achievements are, whatever level of intelligence we may be or not be, if we're alive and we're breathing, we got a heart and we can believe. And if we can believe, we can get this. In fact, if you don't believe, you won't get it. If you don't pray, you won't get it. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit. You can't get smart enough to get this. Actually, you can be too smart to get it. Most people are just too smart. They're just, oh, that can't be. That's ridiculous. That's the silliest thing I ever heard in my life. Yeah, but that's what it says, isn't it? It's either true or it's not. Amen. Well, I'm just dumb enough to believe it. I'm just dumb enough to think that God's smarter than I am. Woohoo! And I'm going to yield over here to Him and pray He gives me the revelation to this thing. Hallelujah. I'm going to pray God gives me the spirit of wisdom, revelation, and knowledge of Him. The eyes of my understanding be enlightened, that I might know what is the hope of this calling, the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, that I might know what is the exceeding greatness of His power to me. When I believe, or to me as a believer, what kind of power are we talking about here? Well, it says, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ and He raised Him from the dead. I think that'll solve your problem. The same power God exerted and released when He raised Jesus from the dead is the kind of power that is to us who believe. How much power you need to solve your problem? How much power you need to get out of the mess you're in? How much power is this going to take? Well, the kind of power He's talking about is the same kind of power He used when He raised Jesus from the dead and set Him at His own right hand, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Now, that's power. And that's the kind of power that's to us who believe. And that's what Paul's praying, is that we get a revelation of this power that is to us who believe. You know, in that verse, and I've mentioned that before, there's actually four Greek words that are translated power in other verses in the Scripture in the New Testament. And four of them are in that one verse, that 19th verse. He's praying that we know what is the exceeding greatness of his power. That's dunamis. We get the word dynamite from that, miracle working power, superhuman power, incidentally. That's the kind of power that's toward us who believe according to the working. That's the word energeia. We get the word energy, exerted energy, force, energy, according to the working. It's translated power also in other verses. Of his mighty power, those two words, both those words are translated power. One is kratos and the other one is ixkus. One of his ruling power and one of his ability, might, strength. So there's four Greek words in there that are translated power in other cases. Dunamis, which is power, working, mighty, power. We need a revelation of it. I can understand why this was called the most powerful verse in the Bible. There's four Greek words translated power in there. You know, and there's another one not in this verse that we often use for authority. It's called exousia or exousia, and it means authority. When Jesus said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me, all authority is given unto me. Hallelujah. And that is used later in here. But in that one verse alone, the most powerful verse in the New Testament, there are four Greek words translated power. Kratos is an interesting word, democratic. It's a ruling type power, the rule of the people, kratos, you know. And then, of course, energy and dunamis, dynamite. Man, I want a revelation of this. I want a revelation of this. See, we get so wrapped up in the world, and we get so wrapped up in day-to-day things that when we pray, we're standing on the Word, quote-unquote, and we're quoting the Bible, quote-unquote, we're really not moving in the revelation that we need to.
Right.
This is why you don't get your prayers answered every time. It's not because the Word's not true. The Word is true. Not because God is refusing. God does not refuse. God, His promises are yes and they are amen. It's because we're not walking in the revelation we should. That's not condemnation. At the very worst, it would be conviction. And, you know, it should convict us. Are you with me? But I'm not even interested in doing that. I'm just saying this. That's the truth. That's just the way it is. And so we need to get revelation flowing. How do you do that? You know the Word, you quote the Scripture. Well, pray. Pray this prayer.
Yes.
Man, pray this prayer for yourself. Pray, you know, God, I pray that you grant to me the spirit of wisdom, revelation, the knowledge of you, that the eyes of my understanding would be enlightened, that I might know what is the hope of your calling and what are the riches of the glory of your inheritance in me and in the saints. And that I might know what is the exceeding greatness of your power toward me. Who believes? I believe, Lord. That power is to me. According to the working of your mighty power which you wrought in Christ or worked in Christ when you raised him from the dead. Can you imagine that event? Can you picture that in your head? Can you wrap your mind around that? Death could not hold Jesus. All the forces of hell could not stop Jesus from rising from the dead. There was so much power there that the rock blew off the tomb. You know, angel rolled it back. And Jesus burst forth from the grave victorious with the keys of hell and death.
Hallelujah.
How much of that do you think will help you? How much of that power will solve your problem? Just a smidge of that would heal your body or my body or fix your finances or whatever the case may be. Get a revelation of that. A revelation of that kind of power.
Amen.
That raised Jesus from the dead and set him at his own right hand far above all principality and power. Might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world or age, but that which is to come. Okay, I'm going to end it up. Goodness gracious. This helping you?
Yes, sir.
Make it personal. Just like I did then. Make it personal. And then pray it for others. You know, pray it for this church. Pray it for us. We want to pray for the church. We want to pray that the church gets this revelation. Woo!
Yeah.
Man, there's hope in this calling.
That's right.
There's riches in this inheritance. This is exceeding great power that's to us. You getting it? See, we pass it by, you know. Oh yeah, we got a calling. No, there's hope in this calling. Well, yeah, we got an inheritance. There are riches in this inheritance. Well, you know, we got God's power. No, this is exceeding great power of God to us who believe. Same kind of use when he raised Jesus from the dead. Wow. Lord God, give us a revelation of that. I need a revelation of that. I need the eyes of my understanding to explode with that light, to see that clearly when I pray, when I come to Him in faith, in Jesus' name, believing. I need a revelation of this. I need this, because this is what's going to cause power to come, my prayers to get answered, God's glory to be seen in the world. No doubt about it. He didn't stop there. He goes on and says this, and real quickly I'll just go through this. I won't take the time. I like taking this apart, though. I like chewing on this good stuff when you get it. He says this, "And He hath put all things under His feet," 22nd verse, "and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all." How do you think God gets around down here? Through you and through me. We are the fullness of Him that fill the earth is filled with His glory through us. It's filled with His glory through each individual Christian. Everyone that believes in Jesus, accepted Jesus, is another. I mean, it's more ground gained by God. It's more of the earth filled. We are the fullness of Him. We are the body of Christ. All things are under His feet. Now you think about a body. What's the lowest part of the body? It'd be the heel. Even if you're a heel, you're still in the body. You say, "Well, I'm just not much of anything. I'm a Christian." Well, the least you could be was a heel. And you know what? Even you are over the devil.
That's right.
Because all things are under His feet. If you got a message for the devil, write it on the bottom of your shoe.
Yeah. That's right.
That's where he is, down there under your feet. Well, I don't know. See, that's the point. You need a revelation of that. And I agree. I think most of the time we don't know that. We don't get that. We don't get what Paul's saying here. Everything's been put under our feet in Christ. Woo! Hallelujah. What are you doing letting the devil run your life? What are you doing letting the devil run your family and your finances and your body and this? Oh, come on. Make a stand. Fight this thing. I mean, he's going to fight. He's going to oppose you, but see, he can't win. If you don't quit, you don't give up. And if you feel weakening, start praying His prayer. Burn, stir up that revelation of who you are in Christ and who Christ is in you. Wow. That's good stuff. Good stuff. And that's just the prayer that he prayed for the church at Ephesus. That's a good prayer to pray for our church. And obviously a good prayer for us to pray for ourselves. Amen.